Welcome to The Verb. Four words. Four small words. Only one of them with more than one syllable. A sentence, more or less. But what delights are contained in that phrase. What a walk in the paradise garden. What a glimpse of a cornerstone of civilization. What a miniature 45-minute renaissance and enlightenment. Four words. One really good time. And the kind of whistling that can only be heard by discerning ears. From the Hungarian Peter Zilahi, author of an astonishing alphabet autobiography. It's blooming brilliant, brothers, and I'm not chanting colourful cant here. Next on The Verb, a remarkable and best-selling writer from mainland Europe, Peter Zilahi has written books that almost defy description. He's interested in the interplay of word and visual image, and I think he's concerned with trying to create a kind of language to describe the fluid borders of a shifting world. His new book, The Last Window Giraffe, is a kind of autobiography, looking at the turbulent times in the former Yugoslavia in the 1980s and 1990s through the distorting mirror of a child's first alphabet. But where English people begin with an apple and finish at the zoo, Hungarians start at the window and finish with the giraffe. I'll let Peter explain that. So that's those are the words of the alphabet, aren't they? It starts with window and ends with giraffe.
There's been a children's dictionary written when I was born. It was called Oblong Giraffe. So giraffe, oblong is a window with A, and giraffe with Z. So it's an A to Z. And I used the form of that book to write about the dictatorship and my childhood. And
it really works, because in the introduction to the book, Lawrence Norfolk refers to the alphabet as a net to throw over chaos. Which is an interesting phrase, because all the way through the alphabet keeps coming back, you keep referring back to this window giraffe. Is that how it was for you? Use the alphabet to give the book a shape?
Well, I thought I would write the book that everything that was left out of that dictionary and to make my own.
So and the book contains all kinds of things. I mean, there are visual images, there are pictures from that dictionary, there are your own photographs, there's reportage, poetic passages, there's snatches of dialogue. And what was the idea behind that? That's a kind of postmodern approach, to put as many different kinds of writing in as you can.
I had this thing in mind that I'm going to write a book that I never read before. Putting it together from all these pieces, I created a structure within a year. And then I wrote the book for a long time, and then at the end it was a lot of work to make the structure invisible.
But all the time returning back to the alphabet idea.
Yeah, the alphabet is there all the way, and at the end I'm sort of trying to dissolve it, but that's the key building structure. Yeah.
Now, can you read us a bit?
Actually, I chose a passage that would go along with the other readings.
Oh, yeah.
My bumpy road to sexual maturity was paved with the death of communist dictators. My first sexual experience coincided with the death of Mao Zedong. I was bitten by a girl called Diana in nursery school. My voice broke when Tito died, and I had my first ejaculation when Brezhnev went. For 3 days, all they played on the radio was classical music, which I thought was rather overdoing it. Some schools even closed. Then, for a long time, there was nothing. As an experiment, I took a girl to the movies, but the film was too good, and I got a cramp in my hand. Events accelerated at high school. There were only a couple of months between the first kiss and the first frantic fumblings. After Andropov, Chernenko quickly checked out. A few more weeks and it was Enver Hoxha's turn, but I'd rather not go into that. I first find out about the G-spot when Ceausescu was executed. Kim Il-sung cast new light on my broadening horizons. Luckily, the charges were dropped. Now as for Fidel.
So, the book is about... The very interesting thing about the book for me is that it's this mixture of the private and the public, because you were living through very turbulent times there, I've talked about and which are in the book. But it seems to give you a license to talk about things like that. That's the perfect example of it, the private and the public mixing together. Is that how it was for you? You wanted to create this kind of autobiography that was also challenging bigger ideas?
Yeah. From where I'm coming from, you know, history is very personal. So I thought, you know, it couldn't be another way to write about history. It has to be very personal. And mixing these personal pieces together with the factual elements, I thought would be the only way that I could figure out what's happening there, and also the way that should be coming from there, you know.
And there's also kind of odd, almost surrealism about some of these protests that you described. There's one where they try and get was it the Cop of the Year, Mr. Cop of the Year or something? Or they're trying to get all kinds of bizarre things happen within these protests.
Yeah, it was quite interesting to see how a crowd can behave quite originally and individually and originally. So it was not like a mob, you know, not like you were told what to do and they were doing it. It was a lot of ideas and it was actually quite big fun.
That's what you get the idea that there was this copper with a big moustache, wasn't there? And there was the young blonde woman, and they tried to get them together. And it's strange, because when you see newsreel images of demonstrations, you imagine kind of horror and fighting and shouting.
Yeah, Miss Protester and Mr. Cop, yeah.
That's right. But within, you've given it a very human touch, the idea of a protest. When we see a protest on the telly, it looks frightening, but you've, I mean, I guess it is, but you've given it a very human touch in there.
Yeah, it was the point, personalizing the whole thing. I was there, but I went all around in Eastern and Central Europe. I watched all the protests, the system-changing protests in East Europe. And so by the time I got to Belgrade, I had quite a lot of experience. And I was actually, in a way, part of it, giving them advice and actively participating in the gigs.
And now you've written this book. You've invented this new form, it seems to me. So what... What about your next book? Where do you go next? What are you going to write?
I have already written another one. It's written in seven genres. And so it hasn't been translated yet, but I hope it will come out too.
So that's, again, you like to look at different ways of writing things.
Yeah, and form is very important for me. I play a lot with form, and I write books that I think other people wouldn't. So that's the challenge for me.
Why is that? Why is it so important?
Why would I write a book and other people would write? And they could write it, then they should write it.
But not only that, but you're not just, it's not as though you think, well, I'll write a novel. You think, I'm definitely going to try and write a new thing.
Well, it's a novel.
It's a novel. There's not many novels based on children's alphabets that have got illustrations in and include bits about demonstrations. You know, I think you're writing a very
If I would try to do something that is like totally mainstream, I think I would end up with something else. And in the process, it's just somehow... turns into mine, and it goes always between genres.
I want to ask you one quick thing about your captain of the Hungarian writers' football team.
That's correct.
Where would you play next?
We're going to play Austria. We have a game because of the European Championships. Yeah.
I can't imagine a British writers' football team, can you?
We played with them. We beat them. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Who plays them?
Who's in there?
Lots of guys. After I tell you.
I bet Sean O'Brien's in goal. I can see Sean O'Brien's goal. Thanks very much to Peter Zelahi. And The Last Window Giraffe is published by Anthem Press.